persecute all those who are out of our box, right? So if you don't think the way I think about God, then you need to go join another congregation, you need to go to another denomination, you need to be whatever. And then it becomes denomination after denomination instead of all of us loving each other the way God's called us to be. So all of us, no matter what, I believe have a part of that inside of us. And it's hard to get rid of because it's taken us so long to actually get it. But I'm going to talk about communion today, and it's going to come out of the scripture of 1 Corinthians 11:23, and it says that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes back." So what I want to kind of put our hands on our head, because I think that we have a thought about communion, or we have a belief about communion, or we have this revelation about communion, and I think our God is greater than our understanding of what communion is. So put your hands on your head, everybody. Before, I would tell you to put your hands on your partner's head, but then they all I got in trouble for all that. So say, "Lord, I know that I don't understand everything you want me to understand. So I allow you to mess this brain up." Amen. So I believe that we've taken communion before. I believe we've done it because we were supposed to. We've done it because the church said to. I actually took communion for the first time when I was 16 years old in a Catholic church by accident. And they told me that I was going to hell because I ate Jesus and drank his blood. And it scared the dog out of me for about 30 years. I remember them telling me that. I actually went to a midnight mass with somebody. And they got up and took communion, so I thought that's what I was supposed to get up. So I got up and got in line, and as I stood there, I just copied everybody else and did this, and the priest dropped it in my mouth, and I was good to go, and I came back to sit down, and they said, "What'd you do?" And I said, I just did what you did, and they said, "Well, you're going to hell." I'm like, "What?" They said, "Well, you ate Jesus's body." I'm like, "What? You should have told me that was Jesus's body before we got up there." But anyway, when that person told me that, I remembered it until the day I gave my life to the Lord, because I thought, whew, now I'm not going to hell for taking communion out of sorts. But I want to take it back even a little bit further. Communion goes way back. You really know that communion goes back before Jesus. Communion was actually taken before Jesus even came around. But I want to tell you about in Leviticus 17:11, it says this. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life of the blood is in the flesh." For the life of the blood is in the flesh. So that, literally, though, what that means is if you don't have any blood in your body, you don't have any life. Your actually life actually flows from your blood. Jesus came to the earth, and remember what we said in Leviticus 11:17 is the life is in the flesh. Jesus came to the earth, and the only way that Jesus could get his life inside of us was through the blood. It had to be the shedding of his blood. His blood had to be shed so his life would come into us and his life would come into the earth. He couldn't die any other way. He couldn't be shot. He couldn't be hung. His blood had to be shed for his life to come inside of us. Amen? Since the life is in the blood, that means that blood actually enters into me and God's life begins to flow out of me. And when I take communion, that's what happens, okay? If we could just stop for a second and think about if the life was in the blood and Jesus' blood had to be shed for something to happen, communion is a bigger deal than what I can understand. I mean, communion has got to be bigger than I can understand if God's only son had to have his blood shed for this to happen and now I'm partaking in this. This has to be a much bigger revelation than I can even imagine. Does that make sense? So I believe that God's healing comes through his blood. I believe that God's forgiveness comes through his blood. I believe that God's miracles actually come through his blood. So if that's true, then this can't be a symbol. This can't be a ritual. this can't be just something that we do that he wanted. He had something that he wanted us to get from doing this. And when we would do it as often as we could do it, then something was actually happening inside of us. Does that make sense to you? So when we take communion, we're actually eating his flesh and drinking his blood. So when I take communion, whatever his life consists of, I'm partaking of that life. Okay, so if I need something that I'm lacking in myself, I can actually take communion and begin to partake of what he's already done. Does that make sense? So if I'm lacking something, I'll tell you something. About two or three weeks ago, maybe a month, I was taking communion, and sometimes I take it two or three times. Sometimes I take it four or five times a day because I know there's an importance there that I don't grab a hold of, that I don't understand. So I'm taking communion, and the Lord said to me, says, you don't even check yourself, Tim. I'm like, okay, check me. Tell me what I haven't checked. He says, you don't love people the way I love people. And I'm like, that's true. I don't love the guy who's trying to crowd in front of me in a car. I don't love the guy who's cutting in line in front of me. Maybe I don't love my ex, and maybe I don't like this person, and maybe the ones who talked about me, and maybe the ones who used me, and maybe the ones who, yeah, I don't like them. I don't love them the way you love people. So then when I began to think about that, I thought, wow, if partaking of his body and his blood, I'm partaking of what he already has and I don't, then maybe I should do it this way. So I started taking communion, and I would go like this, Lord. I didn't stop taking communion because I knew that's where the power was at. I just began to say, okay, Lord, I don't love people the way you love people. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the church, us, don't love people the way he loves people? But we're the church. We're his body. We're it. We're the hope of the world. The lost world doesn't have a chance without us, but when I stop and think about it, I think, wow, I don't love God's people like God does. So then I started saying, okay, Lord, when I would take communion, I would say, Lord, if partaking of your body and partaking of your blood is tapping into what you already have done and what you already have, then I'm going to believe as I take this communion, as I take the body, as I take the bread, I'm actually going to partake into that part how you love other people that I don't know how to love yet. So help me as I do this, help me walk this out and begin to love people supernaturally like you love people. Amen? And so I just confessed it, and each time that I took the communion, I would just say to the Lord over again, Lord, I don't love the people you love like you love, but I want to love people like you love. So as I take this, let it transform me on the inside out to love people. Instead of me trying to do it, let me do it this way. Because I believe that his life is made of, if I need health, that I could partake of his health. If I need mercy, I could partake of his mercy. If I need blessing, I can partake of his blessing. Whatever he is, what he's already done, by me taking communion, I'm actually partaking in the part that I haven't been but that I can be. So it's more than just a symbol, right? So the life is in the blood. So Jesus' blood was shed. So God's life, what life? That part that I don't love, that part that I don't have health, that part that I don't have mercy, that part that... So I partake of that so I can have what he says. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Paul said it this way. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And now I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. So God's actually living through me, right? So I don't want to rain on somebody's parade, but somebody said to me the other day, they said, hey, it's just us living for God. It's not us living for God. That's not what Christianity is. It's not us living for God. It's not us looking good so the lost world will see that we're good and they'll turn to him. It's not us coming up with a list of things to do so we can line it up. And if we do all these things and we do all this, then we'll look like him. It's not us living for Christ. It's us living from Christ. And as we live through this Christ, as we begin to do this, and when I don't have the capability to do it, what do? I go to communion. I go to communion because I'm partaking of everything that he is that I'm not. So then I come into that place and I confess, Lord, I'm not love. But I know I need to be love. I don't have good health. And so isn't it crazy? We don't mind praying for people, and I think that that's right. Don't get me wrong, but we're missing another aspect. If you need health, you should partake of him because that's why he died on the cross, right? So you can partake of his blood, of his body, and you can have what he doesn't have. So I don't care if it's addictions. I don't care if it's depression. I don't care if it's a mental or emotional issues. Whatever you need, you can partake of him and have what he's already given you. Amen? Romans 10 says this, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, I can believe that, right? I can believe if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Can I tell you, before you confessed with your mouth, he was already Lord? So the power was already there. The power was already there. And then you had to do something to tap into the power that was already there. So if you didn't tap into that power, Jesus was Lord, whether you confessed with your mouth, but when you confessed with your mouth, you actually tapped into the power that was already there. That's what communion does for you. It allows you to tap into the power that's already there, whether it be your healing, whether it be your emotional problems, whether it be your addictions, whether it be your anger, whether it be whatever, whether you don't love, you can actually tap into what's already there that you haven't tapped into already by taking communion. And that's why he says, do this often. Amen? Go back to verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I've delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. I believe this is one of the ways, just one, of the ways to experience the breakthrough power of God that you need inside of our lives that we don't see very often. Okay? The night Jesus was dying, the night he knew that the next day I'm going to die. So the night before he thought, well, what's the most important thing I need to get to these guys? This is what I'll do. I'll bring them to an upper room and I'm going to break bread with them. Now, I'm just going to let you know, if I knew I was dying tomorrow, I got a list of stuff I want to do. And I don't know it would teach you guys about bread breaking. I don't know. I don't know about you or what would be on your list if you were going to die the next day. Now, if I was in Jesus' spot and you guys were my disciples, the first thing that would happen, I'd be doing a little bit of whining. Oh, my God, I've only lived 30 years, and I've done this for you guys. And there'd be a little whining going on, right? And then I'll just tell you what, I'd be a little mad at some of you, especially the one I knew that was going to drop a dime on me, right? Right? And then when I knew the rest of you were going to leave me faster than the little Debbie's at a Weight Watchers convention, right? I mean, because that's what's going to happen, right? All his disciples left him that fast. So now I already know that one of you are going to drop a dime on me, and then all of you are going to leave me faster than the little Debbie's did. I'd be a little upset with you guys. But I saw on a truck the other day, it was crazy, it was a big jacked up truck, and it said, Judas ate too. I thought, wow. He knew, and he loved, and he let him eat the same way. But the very important thing, he was being betrayed. And Jesus did what he thought the most important thing that we needed to get, and he did it. Jesus took the bread, and he gave thanks to God. And I do. The more that I think about that, the more I read the scriptures, I hope that one day in my darkest day, when everybody has forsaken me, when my health has betrayed me, my religion has betrayed me, maybe the church betrayed me, maybe my friends betrayed me, whatever, in the darkest day, in the, no matter what was happening, that I could take bread and give God thanks. Jesus said he would prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. He said, eat and come and eat at the presence of your enemies. Take communion in the presence of your enemies. Praise God in the middle of it all. If it doesn't really matter what the enemy's doing, because what the enemy's doing, God's undone. See, we've just made that such a big deal. Right? So God can undo or outdo what the enemy's done inside your life. Do you know that? I mean, but we stay there, right? We stay more what the enemy's done inside of our life. God can outdo or undo what the devil has done in your life. God can outdo or undo what your friends have done in your life that you thought was your friends. God can undo and outdo what you've actually done inside of your life. But isn't it crazy that we just sang how great is our God, but then I don't know if he can outdo or undo the very things that I participated or have done in my own life, because I can't let it go. Amen? He said, do this in remembrance of me. I'm going to keep telling you this scripture because I've just, over the last couple of months, this scripture, I've read and 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 I've asked every time I read it, I say, Lord, I want you to open up the doors of revelation to this scripture that's inside of here. So I read it a lot, and I'm hoping by even reading it a lot today, some of it will stick inside your brains and you'll start to go, wow, I want revelation of what you're saying in this, right? In the same way, he took the cup. And after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes back. So he said, do this as often you can and do it in remembrance of me. He says, you don't remember. When I take communion, I don't remember my sins, I remember him. When I take communion, I don't remember my pain, I remember my healing. When I take communion, I don't remember my fear, I remember my faith. It's like I take this, and when I'm lacking something, I go before the Lord and I come into that place and get what he's already given to me. I tap into the power that's already there and I get to bring it to here. But I think some of the times we're standing beside the Lord like the woman who had the issue of the blood, and she didn't just stand and wait by the Lord went by. She actually did something about it. She said, if I could touch him, something would happen. So I believe that the Lord so much is among us, and we stand beside him, and none of us reach out and try to take what he's already done inside of our lives. We've just gotten used to coming to the church and bringing in all of our junk and then praising the Lord and then packing all of our junk up and taking it back outside the door with us again over and over and over. And I don't know, maybe the first time that you take communion, your junk will stay here. But maybe it's the fifth time or maybe it's the 200th time. I don't know when it is, but I'm not coming here anymore and taking the junk back with me without trying to give it to him first. See, it's religion. It's what we've done. We've just came in here and we played church. We haven't tapped into everything. Maybe we tried it once. Maybe we tried it twice. Maybe I tried it 15 times. I don't know. I'll tell you a testimony. When I started preaching, I got severe asthma. The asthma happened so fast, they didn't even know where it came from. And they said, hey, listen, if your medication is out of your arm length, you're going to die. I'm like, not me. I'm a Christian. That can't happen to me. I'm a Christian. That doesn't happen to Christians. God doesn't let Christians die like that. So I would go on a trip. I'd take my medication. I'd be in the middle of the airport and say, heal me or kill me, God. And I'd drop it in the trash can. And 5 days later, I'd end up in the emergency room, about ready to die. And they'd be like, man, we pulled you out of it, but we don't know how. You shouldn't do this anymore. Well, when that scare would go away, I'd be doing something. I'd be like, not taking heal me or kill me, God, and I'd throw it away. Back in the emergency room again. And I only quit because the doctor finally got on the K and said, hey, if you really loved him, you wouldn't let him throw it away. And then I started feeling guilty because she was getting blamed for me throwing it away. That's the only reason I quit. But I realized that wasn't the way to do it, right? That's what we've been told in church. Just believe that. That's not the way to do it. Come and partake of him. Tap into that power. Remember, when you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. He was already Lord before you confessed it, but when you tapped into it, power came to do something. When we tap into it, the power comes to do that thing that we're tapping into. Does that make sense? In the New Testament, I began to read, every time I'd read it, in the New Testament, they gathered together and they broke bread. They gathered together and they broke bread. They didn't worship. Sorry, worship team. They didn't preach. Sorry, preaching team. They came together and they broke bread. And something powerful happened. Let's read this next scripture together. Luke 24. On the same day, two of Jesus' disciples were on their way to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked together about what had happened, talking about what had happened, Jesus drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from knowing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about so earnestly as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad, and one of them, named Cleopas, answered, "Are you only a stranger stopping in Jerusalem? Do you not know the things that have happened there within these last few days?" He asked, "What things?" They answered, "Oh, why, about Jesus of Nazareth, who proved himself a prophet, mighty in the word, deed before God and all the people, and how our high priests and rulers gave him over to be sentenced to death and had him crucified." This is how messed up they were too, right? "But we were hoping that he was the one to save Israel." So they were looking for a commander. They were looking for a military person. They were looking for somebody to lead them in a revolt against the Roman Empire. "It's now the third day since these things happened, but some of our women who were at the tomb early this morning amazed us. They told us that they had found his body, but had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then Jesus said to them, 'Oh, foolish men, so slow of heart to believe in what the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer so win his glory?' So when they came to the village to which they were going, he seemed to be going further on, but they urged him to stay, stay with us, for it is almost evening, the day is nearly over. So he went to stay with them. As he sat down with them at the table, he took the bread," listen to this, "as he sat down with them, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, passed it to them, and then their eyes were open." Maybe our eyes are not all the way open. Maybe there's a deeper revelation or understanding in communion that I know of or that I've heard of, and as I partake of him in that, my eyes are open to something different inside of me. Okay, see, can I tell you, they were with him the whole time. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus have been with us the whole time. There's no doubt in my mind that he's been in the midst of our worship. He's been in the midst of our preaching. He's been in the midst of every time that we gather together. He's been in the midst of your gatherings. He's been in the midst of wherever he's at. I believe that's true, but I believe that our eyes have not been fully open because we don't understand communion to the level that it talks about. Amen? And like I said, the woman with the issue of blood, can I tell you, the power was in Jesus the whole time. So Jesus can be amongst us and have all the power that he deserves, and he all the glory, gets it all. He can be in the midst of us, but if we don't partake of that, if she wouldn't have crowded in, remember what the scripture said? He said that she crowded through the crowd and she touched his garment, and then he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples go, Lord, there's thousands of people in here. What do you mean who touched me?" He said, somebody touched me with their face. Somebody pulled power from me. See, I believe that the Old Testament, the New Testament are all similar to where we're at now. Who's touching Jesus? Who's partaking of him and doing that power that I think is available to us? Amen? I believe that the power permanently resides in Christ. And when she touched him, she became the beneficiary of that power. And I believe that communion is a way to partake of that sometimes. And Jesus dying on the cross made all of that available to us. So I believe that we come in here week after week with all our issues that we don't tell anybody. We just keep them in a closed little lid, a closed little bag, and we look good on the outside, or we do the best we can. Doesn't mean we don't love him, doesn't mean we're not going to heaven, but I think we can partake of, we can actually reach out and grab. He said, "Do this in remembrance," do this, and we could partake of that, and something happened, and we could actually leave it here. I believe that we could leave everything here today. I believe there's so much about communion that maybe we'll never know it all. I mean, we sang the song, How Great Is Our God. We sang this song of how great is our God, but then we're messed up when something's greater than happens in my understanding, right? You know, I mean, years ago, I wasn't a part of Harvey and Allen's church then. They said gold dust fell everywhere and people left. It's like, why would people leave? They said, well, they're left. I'm like, because it was greater than their understanding, but we sing a song, it's how great is our God, but when God does something great, we actually do it the opposite. Amen. I believe that we got to plug in. And one of the ways to plug in is communion. And he says, do it often. Do this often inside of me, right? I mean, I've realized just studying this whole thing, it says in the last one, it said to, how'd that scripture go? It said, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I actually, when I used to take communion, I would just weep. But as I got to reading this, I'm like, proclaim Jesus' death. Oh, this is a celebration. Well, why was it a celebration? Well, the truth about it, if he didn't die, I couldn't live. If he didn't die, I couldn't have a relationship with the Lord. If he didn't die, I couldn't be saved. So he said, listen, I did this for you. I want you to celebrate all the things that I've done on the cross for you. I want you to celebrate this place. Celebrate this, what you've done. It's not about me dying. It's about us living, right? It's not about us being sick. It's about us being healed. It's about us being saved, right? He says, as often as we take communion, as often as you choose. I think a lot, we provide it every Sunday. A couple months ago, we started believing that we're going to provide it every Sunday because we believe even if we didn't know the full revelation of communion, that partaking of it, something was going to begin to happen inside of us. And I do believe it's happening. I mean, I've had several testimonies of people experiencing the Lord, different things happening. I think we can take it to another level. I think we can tap into it more. I think you can, the things that you're missing in your life, the things that you've carried in here in that secret handbag or that secret closet in your closet, I think we can bring that in and say, okay, Lord, I've tried to not be depressed. I've tried to get healed. I've tried to leave those sins alone, or I've tried to leave that. I think I can take it to the communion table and say, as I partake of you, I want to dip into that. And I think something happens, and it no longer becomes about me trying. It all becomes about what he did on the cross. See, he did it on the cross so you wouldn't have to do it. See, he did it on the cross because it can't be about you. It has to be about him. See, because if it came about you, then it was how good you wouldn't sin, or how well you've done, or how much you've read your Bible, or how many times you went to church, or how many times you didn't do all the bad things that we shouldn't be doing, and it wouldn't be about him on the cross. But if it all comes about him on the cross, then it can be nothing about what you have. So it's no big deal how many baggages I come in here with, right? It doesn't matter if I come in here one or none. I come in here and he don't care because he said it's about everything that I did on the cross. And we need to come in here looking that way, right? I'm lacking, Lord. I'm lacking on loving people today, God. I don't love people the way you love people, and I need some of the way you love that, so I'm going to partake of what you've done on the cross. And us doing that, amen? So, just in the next months, we're just going to share about communion because I believe it's going to continue to happen. And I want to go ahead and put communion up here. Go ahead and put it up here. Go ahead, Lisa, you can start playing. Now, this is just, you don't have to come and take communion. I mean, we're just going to play, and we're going to, if you could turn the lights down a little bit, Daniel. But I want to do something different today. See, I believe just like if we had ministry teams up here to pray for people, and you're believing that when somebody prays for you, you're going to be healed. Why? Why do you believe that? Because the power of God, because of Jesus dying on the cross, flows out of us. So when you pray for somebody else, you're believing when you pray for them that the power of God flows out of you and into them. We believe that. So I'm going to open this up. Well, thank you. See, you'd done that a little different for me. If you was up here, I'd just reach in and grab you a piece. I'm not saying your way's not better. I'm just saying that that's how I would have messed that up. And so I want to do it a little different today. I don't care if you take it up here. I don't care if you take it to your chair. I don't care if you take it out to work. I don't care where you take it at. But what I want to do different today is whatever you brought in here, I want you to leave here today when you take this. When you take this, I want you to take the communion and say, Lord, I'm taking your body and I'm drinking your blood, and whatever I'm lacking, I want to partake of what you did on the cross. Whether it's a healing, you died on the cross for my healing. You died on the cross so I don't have to be depressed. You died on the cross so I could love. You died on the cross so I wouldn't be angry. You died on the cross so all those things happen. So this time, I just want you to take time. And those baggages that you've brought in year after year, month after month, I want to leave them here this time. So as you feel like it, I'm not going to say any more. Well, maybe, hopefully not. I just want you to take it. I'm going to leave it open for about 5 minutes. So. So his disciples who walked with him daily knew him personally, slept beside him and ate beside him and didn't even know him until after they broke bread. So I'm believing that as I took communion today, that I'll see this God of mine bigger than I've ever seen him before. And I'll partake of what he did on the cross and not what I've done by myself. And somebody said, Pastor Tim, I just can't believe that communion, by confessing that and doing that, then communion can do that. And I'm like, well, isn't it amazing we can confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe and we're saved, but we can't confess about communion and believe and see a difference in there. Amen? So, Father, we say yes and amen. We say, do in us. Do in us whatever you want to do. Wherever you want to take us or you want to take this world or this church, Father, we say yes. We say yes and amen. And we're not limiting you to our understanding or our belief, but we're limiting only you by the power of what you did on the cross. Amen. And the church said, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming. And we're going to have communion every week again on the side. And every now and then we're just going to throw in. We're just going to build on this revelation. We're just going to continue with this revelation. And there's more. We have more that we're just going to continue to build on as we do this. Amen? God bless you guys. Thank you so much.